Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me, starring me and Melissa. We're the stars. It's our show. Woohoo! Sparkle, 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 sparkle. Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. I hope you're watching the video because she's shaking her titties. She's shaking her titties. Now she's grooving, grooving and shaking. Ooh, twerk it, twerk it, twerk it, twerk it. Hi, guys. I'm Megan. My co-host here is Melissa.
Hey. Hello, my name's Melissa Dynemont.
She's Australian, if you didn't know. She's been faking an accent for every other episode.
I have.
Good day. All the Australians are like, please shut the fuck up.
They're like, we don't say that.
We don't say that, mate. Just put another shrimp on the barbie. My only Australian accent, what I would base it off of, I used to say quotes from the show called H2O, which was about mermaids.
About water?
Yeah. Well, they couldn't go near the water because then they would turn, like, how would they take a bath? And then suddenly they're a mermaid.
Whoa.
Cleo. Oh, it wasn't Chloe. It's Cleo.
Cleo.
What a time. Well, guys, this is Don't Blame Me. We're an advice podcast.
In case you couldn't tell from that intro.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we made it abundantly clear. Like, it was just very on brand, like, very much what we do. We give advice, and you might be being like, why? What are your credentials? None. Stop asking questions and shut up and listen. Yes. I'm just getting more and more aggressive as the episodes are going. You know,
it's just a gal in her 20s and a gal in her 30s, you know, moving through life, figuring things out, given advice, and then, you know, you finish it out.
I was gonna say, I like the moving through life when really we're sitting at home and life, we're watching life happen, and we're on the sidelines going, woohoo, yeah, that's what's happening this year. Well, yeah, it's an advice podcast. If you want to call in, leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And then international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And we ask that you are either 18 or over, or you have your parents' permission before you call in. And you keep that voicemail or that voice memo under 3 minutes. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. So we suggest writing it down.
Strong suggestion.
It's almost a if we could require it, we would.
Yeah.
But we can't, just because we don't know. We don't know where you, we can't just like show up at your door and be like,
I think you'd probably figure it out though.
Well, but only after they call.
True.
You know what I mean? True. So we do prefer that. It's just so much easier for us to give advice, and we want to hear everything. And so a lot of time people like to sugarcoat things or really like paint themselves in a better light. We're not here to, and very rarely are we here to judge you unless you're doing something judgment worthy. And then most of the time our judgment comes out of being like, hey, you can do better. Come on, you can do better. So give us the most info. Don't leave any juicy details out. And what, I mean, that's the intro, but what's up with you? What's new? What's new? What's kicking?
What's the sitch?
Yeah. What's the sitch? I can't do the noise.
Let's see.
I'm really making you rack your brain because we were recording two episodes in one day, so I just saw her. So
yeah. I have two new podcasts that are coming.
Hell yeah. Do we get any idea of the genre?
Queer.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Do I know any of the people who are hosting them, or are these brand new people to us?
Yeah, this is more so where the podcast was already packaged and then I was asked to produce them, and I will be taking more of like an oversight production role. This is the first time that I'm doing that, and then Katrina and Shireen will be producing the shows.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
But you get to be Boss Man Bing. Boss Man Bing.
Boing, boing, boing.
Boing, 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 boing.
What about you? Boing, what's new with you?
What is new with me? We're in Colorado still. And
do you know how long you're staying?
No. We didn't get an Airbnb for the way home yet. Like, we didn't. We just did one for the way there. And, you know, we're playing it by ear. We're lucky that this is like, you know, a lot of people have asked for staying in Airbnb, which is so flattering, I'm sure, to Matz's family, but this is like a family vacation home. But just gonna wait it out because we left before LA had stay at home orders. And
you
so,
left like the day of. Like,
we left two days before. When we got here was when we got, because my phone still didn't up. I got one of those alerts on my phone, and I was like, oh shit, and I was like, oh wow,
this is Mayor Garcetti. Why does he talk like that?
I don't
he tries to be, it sounds like he's trying to like sound like he's just like, you know, being commanding, but it just sounds like he's trying to be sexy.
Yes. Like, it just sounds like he's trying to seduce me and it's not working.
Yeah. I'm just like, please stop.
Like, actually just stop. I'm so uncomfortable and I don't want to listen, but I need to listen to what's going on.
And then he starts speaking in Spanish too. And I'm just like, you're just making me even more dry. Like, stop.
Oh my God. Like, so
funny. You make Spanish unsexy.
Yeah. I mean, he's just unsexy. But yeah, we're not sure when we're going to go. Obviously not beyond that. But I mean, I think the last statistic that we read, LA ICUs were at, they were full capacity.
We have the highest rates in the country.
Yeah. And I think something that people aren't really thinking, people are like, well, no, like, even if people want to be like, make incorrect and like ignorant arguments of like, well, like, people recover from this, like, if I blah, 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 like, or I'm being safe or whatever. But like, it's also like, we're not going to get on the road and drive because God forbid we got in a car accident. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, our hospitals
especially
are overwhelmed.
In the snow. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, we're not going to go back until it is like,
But like, say, why would you come back?
Not just like a dentist appointment. And I was like, reschedule. And he was like, yeah, you're right. Like, he goes to dentists all the fucking time. He'll be fine. Yeah. So, we don't know, but it's like nice. I mean, the house is, it's a very large house. There's like a lot of like space for everyone to do everything. And so, I mean, I'm in no rush. There's snow. It's beautiful. And I have no desire to like add any sort of risk.
Are you getting engaged?
No. Everyone, when I tell you my DMs every day, they're like, you're getting engaged. And I'm like, I'm not. And like, people are like, well, you don't know that. I go, no, I actually know that because like Mats has strict instructions that Taylor, who's taken so many of our podcast pictures, who also took photos for my movie and also took my book cover photo, Taylor has to photograph it. That is the rule. It has to happen. This is not the time. So for this episode, we usually start the episode, or we have been recently, with a update where we do like a live update and we talk to one of our callers from a previous episode. And we did that. And it's juicy. It's very long. And we had like a very lengthy conversation.
It's not just like an update. We also gave advice too.
We also gave commands. We were bossy. We gave instructions, made her do things while we were on the call. So it is very long. So instead of putting it at the beginning and like cutting down so much of it, we want to keep it for like what it is. So we're going to do a couple calls at the start, but then most of this episode is going to be dedicated to this. And I think the great thing about that too is like, I think this call is so fucking relatable. Mm-hmm. And I think this advice, like not to toot our own horns or whatever, but like this is advice that like, you can take if you're not even her. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, so this is shit that like I needed to hear when I was like 20, 22. So I think you guys will enjoy it. And let's hop into some calls before we get there.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm an Aquarius and I'm trying my best to channel my inner Virgo by writing this down first. So I hope y'all appreciate that. But I'm calling because last night I had an interesting interaction with my boyfriend, who is a Scorpio. We were laying in bed watching TV, and I look over at my boyfriend, and he's on Reddit, which is a normal thing for him, and he's in his messages, and I see him click on a message and then click on a profile, and then I see it's clearly not, like, it's a not safe for work profile, because I see him clicking on the messages or the posts and then seeing the photos. So I asked him, what are you looking at? And he kind of flinched and was like, oh, to be honest, I was looking at porn. And I had no issues with my boyfriend looking at porn. Like, we've watched porn together. I understand that he's going to do that. And it just made me realize, like, I always see him on his phone and he's on Reddit. And knowing that he has porn come up on his feed, like, obviously, I don't know how often it comes up on his feed or not, but it just made me kind of uncomfortable. And so he said to me, like, yeah, it was just on my homepage. And I said, well, no, it wasn't, because I saw you were in your messages. And then he just was being super vague about it. And then just kind of eventually showed me, like, here, let me show you how he got it. Like, he got a message from someone who's a mass message where they sent messages to everyone who had a similar username to him. And I was just upset that, you know, he felt it was his first instinct to lie and say that it was on his homepage instead of finally just telling me the truth. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, the relationship I was in before this was super unhealthy and toxic. And we've been together for almost like 2 years. And I feel like we've had a really healthy, good relationship so far. And I just kind of feel like I have a hair trigger for lying. And it was something so stupid to lie about. And I just really don't know how to move on with the situation and really what to do. So any help you guys have, thanks.
I hate it.
Yeah. Like, the fact that he got, like, he was on Reddit, he got the message, he thought he was doing something wrong because he flinched after it and he got caught. Mm-hmm. So I try to like see it, maybe he wasn't expecting the message to come, and then he looked at it and then he was like, he obviously felt like some type of way about it because he was trying to hide it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being truthful, it could have been just like he got caught off guard and he didn't know what to do, or he's just lying to you all the time. And that was just his default to go back on.
Yeah, I think that's probably like, I'm sure that's probably that's how I would feel. It's like when someone can lie, when their first instinct is to lie and like so quickly, then it becomes like a, if this has never been a rate, like you didn't sound, it didn't say like you, that you've had trust issues in the past, because then that makes you question everything you else, everything else you thought was truthful, because like it didn't raise any red flags at all. Yeah, I think like people, I mean, to therapize your boyfriend, I mean, like people who like hide things or like lie about things, usually that's most of that stuff stems from like childhood and that kind of stuff. Like if a therapist like breaks that down, like that is like usually where those things kind of come from. But I don't know if you guys have had enough of a conversation about this to kind of like understand it more, because like, what did he say when you were like, well, then why is your first instinct to lie? Like, I would want to know like, what's his response to that? Because like, it's, you've been in another relationship before that was like super shitty, but like nothing you've said before has said anything about this relationship or anything like that where he has felt like he would need to hide something, especially because you guys like watch porn together and it's like not an issue that like you know, it's like kind of one of those things where it feels like I've had friends who like would quote unquote, I hate the term like, oh, I'm a chill girl. But like, what dudes give that, like straight dudes give that, like, and it's not necessarily like, it's not a flattering term. It's just like guys, like, oh, you're such a chill girl. But like, I've had friends who like have been called chill girls by the guys that they've been seeing. And then the guys like do something that's like, so like inappropriate or so like disrespectful or something, and then they're like, well, I thought you were chill, and it just becomes like a what, like, because mm-hmm. I'm cool with certain things, like it becomes this kind of like blanket thing that does just defaults, like deflects and defaults blame. But I mean, I'm not super familiar with Reddit. You're more into like the Reddit like stuff. I'm curious why, if you guys like watch porn together, it's not like a taboo topic with you two, like why his first instinct was to say that it was like on his homepage versus like a message.
Yeah. Cause like, I don't message anybody on Reddit. Like I've messaged one person because they had like this cool Instagram page that I used to follow. And then they like closed the page. And I was like, I just asked them what happened to their Instagram page.
Yeah.
That's the only person I've ever messaged anything about on Reddit. I've never messaged anything in, I mean, I don't look at porn on Reddit, but I know that it's readily available. So, there's subreddits that have porn all on it. So I don't understand like how he was part of this message, but I just like, even if he was, why would he lie about it? That's the thing. Like, who cares?
Well, that makes me wonder.
And it was a group message. So it's not like somebody was doing it like specifically to him.
Yeah. So I do wonder if like, he sought out to be a part of and included in this message, because would it be like, can you like join a forum and then they message like,
yeah, but like even then, like, so what? Like, I don't understand why he would hide it, because it could have just been like he was in this subreddit and then they sent out a message and like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think the overall theme of this is like, I feel like my boyfriend has just lied to me. Uh-huh. He did it so easily. Now I'm really worried that he's been lying about other stuff.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's an irrational feeling or fear to have at all, because like it is alarming when people are very good at lying. And I think it's great that he like showed you like that it like wasn't what like it wasn't like. Yeah, I think you just need to have like a sit down conversation with him, and then I don't know what else there really is to do there except just be kind of like, I don't want to say like on the lookout, but just kind of be aware. And whether that's like reflecting on like other circumstances where mm-hmm. you might have felt like you've been like gaslit, or that you felt like something didn't necessarily add up, or even something that you like felt like kind of that like nagging feeling, but you never said anything about because you were like, oh, I'm being crazy. Or like, I'm like, even stuff that you never even brought up to him. Like, look back, and if are you able to find any of those things, and then just like moving forward, if you like want to move forward and you're able to, which I don't think, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want to do with your life. But then I think like just being aware and cautious in other situations if you're feeling that same kind of feeling that he's like lying about something or isn't being fully truthful. But I would start off with having conversation as to why his first instinct was to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's like, because I thought you would get mad, that's something you have to unpack, because it's like, why? Why? Yeah. What have I shown you any other time before that like this is something that like I would be upset about? And if it's like projecting from something else or any of that other kind of stuff, like I think it's a very important thing to like take note of, because that can be pushing blame on, as opposed to like changing someone's actions. It's like, I'm lying about my actions because I don't want your reactions to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Versus like, well, if you think I'm going to react badly to something, why are you going to do it? And if you don't think it's a bad thing, then like, why would you date me if you think that like my, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it doesn't necessarily add up. But this also could be an instance of like the one fucking time that he like has
just,
like,
so he just got caught off guard and then didn't know what to say. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, okay. Next call.
Yeah. Let's get to the next one.
Hello, Megan and Melissa.
Hello.
I am a 37-year-old Virgo, and I'm quote unquote friends with a 44-year-old male. We met on a dating app, Hinge. We shop together. We cook together. We sleep over each other's houses. We act like a couple in front of his friends. I've known him since October 8th. It is now November 8th, and we spend 90% of our time together. He gives me everything I need in a relationship. I am so satisfied. It's insane. But he's been divorced for 2 years. His ex was very controlling and manipulative. At this moment, he does not want a title on our quote-unquote friendship. He is scared to repeat the past. My question is, should I carry on with him because he gives me everything I need in a relationship? I know with time that we will fall for each other. I'm just having a hard time with the title of friends with benefits. Also, how do I stop talking about a relationship with him? I seem to need the title of dating. We're currently not dating anyone else, and so we're exclusive, quote unquote, friends. So it would be nice if you can give me your advice to help me through this time in my life. Thank you. Bye.
You're exclusive friends?
I mean, you've only known each other for a month. I think it's way too early to be putting labels on any type of relationship. And I mean, you're probably spending all this time together because we're in a quarantine. So yes, it may feel like your relationship is on fast forward, but it's still really early to be putting on a label, especially if he's been divorced before. Yeah. Like 2 years isn't that long ago when we're talking about marriage. You still, it's still too early.
Yeah, it's still too early if he wasn't recently divorced. But like, he's recently divorced. Like, and I think that like, we can kind of get into this like cycle of like, sometimes people who like don't want to put labels on it, like we can, it's a blessing in disguise, because like, it's, we're not ready for that yet, because I'm going to disappoint you with this title, because I'm not ready for the responsibilities and the obligations. And the reason why I'm fulfilling everything is because we don't have that. And then like, if someone doesn't like, and let's say like years down the road, or whatever, someone, or like months and months and months later, someone doesn't want to do that. They don't want to do that because they're going to disappoint you. Like, that's why, like, that's, because if they're friends with benefits, you can't cheat. Like, and you can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, it happens all the fucking time where it's, like, so many people are, like, you know, this playing house. Like, you're basically dating, but you're not dating. And, like, but that title is, like, a technicality that, like, protects a lot of people from, it gives them the ability to, like, feel okay with then if they fuck up or do something that's, like, really not okay, because there's the title's not there, even though that doesn't really make an emotional difference. But again, it's like, it's a technicality of it, but it also protects you in that sense, because like he's not ready for a reason. And like, getting him to like be like your boyfriend or whatever. And he, if he's not ready, you're not, you don't want that boyfriend.
Right.
You like the idea of what you want is him wanting it just as much as you. And it feel maybe it feels like that's what he wants too, but he's saying he doesn't. Listen to him, because otherwise he's just going to disappoint you. And that's so fast. A month. Did she say she's 37 or 27?
37. And he's 44. And
he's 20. He's
44.
What?
44.
Oh, I thought he was 24.
Mm-mm. I was like, that's a lot for a 24-year-old.
That is.
But like, it's kind of like a good pivot to what the update is too, which is the opposite of, it's the opposite of somebody that was brushing into a relationship too soon. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I mean, I think the last thing that you can, not the last thing, but I think something that you can also do, if like, it's okay if it's, if it feels like he's your boyfriend and he won't be your boyfriend, to tell him like, okay, then I think we need to like dial back our relationship to match this title, because it's just hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. And I think that's very valid. But I would also say, if you're like, should I be done? Like, should, like, is this something, like, am I wait, blah, blah, blah. That's also like, you only know that. Do you like, you only know, like, if it's like, if you think that he's just fucking around and like it's not actually ever going to happen and he wants all the perks with like none of like the actual like responsibility or anything like that, then totally cut it off and be done. But it's, I think your best bet is to dial it back, like the emotional aspect of it, to match up with like the actual title of it, because he probably thinks in not being your boyfriend that like, therefore what he does, if anything inevitably happened, he wouldn't hurt you.
Yeah.
But his actions are making him be like your boyfriend. And then that's what will still hurt you. So mm-hmm. I think you need to protect yourself in that sense, because I think he's protecting himself with not having a title. So I think you need to protect yourself by not being so
emotionally invested.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is hard, but also like, or not, and fuck it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
He's cautious with his heart.
Yeah. Hey, should have been like the next, should have been like our update. That's, mm-hmm. there are two different kinds of men in the world.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think if there's any other kinds. No.
I think there's the guy that's in the middle.
Not all men, Megan, not all men. Okay. Okay, guys, we are going to take a quick break and then it is time for our update.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor we love, 310 Nutrition. 310 Nutrition is helping us, you, our listeners, in the new year with protein and superfood-rich products with so many options and flavors for your personal preferences. They're adding new products all of the time, and I just got my... I just got a secondary of my package, and I, as someone who needs electrolytes to function, there it's like... elixir from the gods. I cannot sing their praises enough, specifically the cucumber flavor of this electrolyte mix is delicious. Like it's so good. I've even like had it on like ice and been like, I'm drinking like a drink. Like you can throw a little straw in there. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I love, they're filled with so many great ingredients that really help if you're like me and you like, you know, medically need some electrolytes, but also if you're working out, if you're sweating, hot summer day, you're going to an amusement park, you're on your feet for a long period of time, all of that. Most of us are not getting the electrolytes we need.
Yeah, I drink mine specifically when I am working out. It's my beverage while I'm working out. I just take one stick of the hydrate, mix it in with my bottle of water. 16 ounces of water can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water if you got that hydrate in there. They also have the all-in-one shakes, which I absolutely love. I'm running low, so I gotta get some more. But I love the chocolate bliss, the vanilla cream, the caramel sundae. I have all three of those flavors. Sometimes I mix and match them. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm baking, or I'll just drink it straight. And it is, they're so good. They have a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that makes it so delicious. You can get fiber and superfood blends with more than 25 organic fibers and superfoods blended into one easy, delicious shake. And they also have 310's 4-Shake Flavor Starter Kit, which lets you sample all the flavors for only $9.
Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with Don't Blame Me and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and super easy to put together an order, or you can start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code BLAMEME right now for 50% off up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code BLAMEME.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good. You can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed it as 45 of the must read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work, which that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Okay, so my original call was about the girl being overly jealous of her ex-boyfriend, and he had a new female friend that I was getting really insecure about. And then you guys talked about different things and how we need to talk about it. And in the original call, I did say that we broke up for reasons that weren't very significant, and that was kind of a lie. I knew you guys would get mad at me if I told you the real reason. So I just wanted to know, like, how to not be so jealous.
Okay. What's the real reason?
Yeah, what's
though?
The real bug? We know. We always know that this shit happens.
Well, the real reason is he's crazy.
Shocked.
So kind of an update now is we're not talking anymore since that happened. And he just has been playing with my emotions for like 2 years on and off now. So it's just like, finally needs to be cut off. But I just wanted to see if you guys could give me some advice on like how to actually move on and just be like not so bothered by everything. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just done some really crazy shit, so I wanted to share that too.
What kind of shit has he done?
So we met 2 years ago today, like around 2 years ago this time. And this was the first guy I've ever dated, the first guy I've ever like really liked, I first love, first time ever having sex with anyone. So like it was a lot of first times with him. And I just had never felt so comfortable with someone until I met him. Like I had talked to guys here and there. And like there were a few guys that I dated kind of around like for a few months, but nothing ever went anywhere. And I was never like sexually attracted to someone until I met him. So things just felt really different with him. And from the beginning, like I could tell that he was really, really into me in the beginning too. And like, he told me that we were going to get married. So, and this was all when we were both 20, like about to turn 21. So we were still young, but not like 16-year-olds. When you talk about marriage, you know, it's fake. So I thought, you know, like this is my first relationship. I'm really young, but I was like, it could happen. Like I'm not that young. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know what I want, or at least I thought I did. So he would tell me, like, we're going to get married, we're going to have kids, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. He's just like, I'm so excited for you to meet my parents. Like, I've already told them that I love you so much and you're the one for me. And like, I met his parents. They were amazing. Like, they were both so sweet. I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, like, I really do think this guy's the one. And then from the beginning, so I met him off of Bumble, and I knew that my family would find that really weird. So I never told them that. I just told them that, like, we met through friends. Mm-hmm. And when I, like, before they knew anything about him, I showed them a picture of him, and they're like, we don't like him. And I was like, what? And I was like, this is him. He's really sweet. Like, I really like him. They're like, we don't like him. What's his major in college? I told them, they're like, yeah, we don't trust him. We don't like him. And I was like, okay. So from the first second, they didn't like him. And like, when I told them that I was going to meet his parents, they were like, we don't like his parents. We know his parents don't have good intentions. Like, what kind of parents want to meet a girlfriend after like 2.5 months? This is too soon. Like, you're going to get played. Like, we don't like him. So this was all before they even met him. And I was telling him some of this. So it made him really insecure that he knew my parents didn't like him. And then I was going on vacation. So this was 6 months into us dating. And during those 6 months, we were like completely attached. Like, we went on vacations together. We spent so much time together. And then I was going on vacation to go visit my family. And I went to Greece. So obviously there's a lot of good looking guys in Greece. Like, you go partying in Greece and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
I've seen so Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
So he was very, very, very jealous that I was going to Greece. Like, he made me, well, he didn't, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but I did not want to go. He did it on purpose. Yeah, most likely. Like, I did not want to go to Greece at all. And I go almost every summer because my mom's from there. So I love it there so much. And even if it's not about boys and partying and stuff, like, he knows that I was also a virgin before him. Like, I had never done anything. So why would I do anything then? But every day that I was in Greece, we were getting in fights. He was just like, I know you're cheating on me. Like, he would look at my followers and text me a picture of a guy and be like, who's this guy? Did you meet him at a club? Did you have sex with him? I was like, no, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then one day he sent me a link. And then this was towards the end of my vacation. He sends me a link. And I'm like, what is this link? Because I don't know why. It was on Twitter. And once he sent it, it disappeared. So he sent me the link. And then I was like, what was the link? And then he ignored me for 2 days. And I was like, what happened? And then he sends me the link again. And it was a Pornhub girl that looked nothing like me. It was just like from chest down. And it was just of her boobs, shaking her boobs. And he was just like, these are your boobs. Why are you on Pornhub? And I was like, what the hell is your problem? I was like, first of all, like, you've seen me naked. Like, this, you know, I'm like, they're similar. Like, maybe someone that's never seen me would think maybe that's her. Like, the girl had darker skin. Like, her nipples were different. I was like, this is not me.
Bitch, those aren't my tits. How have you not been paying attention?
They looked very similar though. And then, like, the weird thing was that she was wearing an outfit that I basically had. And then she had, so when him and I vacationed, we went to go to my family home in Texas. So we road trip like 12 hours there, and we had this big fuzzy brown blanket, and she had the exact same blanket.
Wow.
So he was That's just like, wild. This is literally your blanket. I've seen you wear those shorts. Like, this is literally you. I'm so mad. Like, he was just like, it's just the fact that you're lying to me right now about being on porn that makes me really sad.
But and yet was like on there looking like,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he searched up my ethnicity because I'm mixed. So he mm-hmm. searched up like girl with big boobs. Because he said, I missed you so much, I wanted to find girls that look like you. Which,
oh my gosh.
Which is weird, fucking, but it didn't bother me. Yeah, I was like, okay, like, I don't have a problem with him on porn, but I'm like, you yeah. can't find girls that look like me and then say, they look too much like you. It is you.
Wait, also, that's so true. That's such a bad excuse. Like, I was looking at, like, I looked up girls because, like, I missed you and I only want to look at girls who, like, look like you, and then be like, bitch, this is you. And it's like, you did this, dude. Like, you literally did this to, like, yourself. You played yourself. You played your fucking self.
And then, like, the girls, like, it was oddly similar because, like, the girl's location was in Texas, and, like, him and I had road trip to Texas and the blanket, and he was just like, this is you. And then he, like, for some reason found this girl, and her actual face was showing, and She had braces. Like, she was like a 12-year-old girl. And he sent that one to me. And he's like, this just makes me so sad that you were doing this at 12.
I've never met him. He's so stupid.
Yeah. And he was like, he was just like, I don't mind that you did it, but it just makes me so sad. Like, he was just like, I know your parents were so strict and you weren't allowed to leave the house, but it just makes me so sad that at 12 you were doing stuff like this.
What?
Can I ask a question real quick? What about him? Like, are your parents psychic? Like, what about him that they saw a picture and they were like, no.
Is his name Chad? Like, was he holding a fish in his profile picture? Like,
glasses that look like the glasses that Jeffrey Dahmer wore. Mm. So they thought that he looked like a serial killer when they saw his picture. I don't think
they were that off. They weren't that far off.
You fucking, your parents picked up on that shit.
I should have listened to them.
Also, that's such a specific, like, here I am thinking his name is Chad. And it's like, no, you know, he bears a resemblance with his glasses to Jeffrey Dahmer. So, like, serial killer, like, not even Ted Bundy, like, not a serial killer that anyone was like, ooh, Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, that's like, ooh. Dahmer.
Yeah, no, they were like, he looks like a serial killer. They're like, his major is finance. And my mom's like, a lot of people in finance become accountants. And I don't trust accountants. Like, it was all like so random.
They like your mom.
Me too. I like her a lot.
She's not wrong.
Okay, so all of that happened. And I didn't really tell my family any of that because I know that they would have been like, what the fuck? Like, if he was looking on porn and stuff. So I told a few of my friends, and then after that, he ended up blocking me on everything for like 5 days. And then these are like, I had 8 days left in Greece. So for 5 days, he blocked me. And I was so, so, so sad. I was just like, are we broken up? What is going on? Like, every day I was just crying. I even texted his mom and I was like, I'm so worried about him. What's going on? And then he ended up, unblocking me and apologizing. And he's just like, I'm really sorry. Like, I was just too jealous. Like, I'm not going to act like this anymore. And then we were like, okay. And then at that point, my family is just like, we don't trust him. We don't like him. Why would he block you for that long? And then he actually broke up with me for good, like 3 or 4 days later. And then again, blocked me on everything. So after that, so this was a weird transition time where he was in the middle of transferring school. So he went to a school that was 20 minutes away from me. And then he ended up transferring to one that was 3.5 hours away from me. So we broke up, he blocked me, and then he transferred school. So it's just like, oh God, like, I'm never going to see him again. But then this is actually kind of funny, but also embarrassing, but I'll share it anyways. So I knew what school he was going to, and I knew the new building that he was going to live in, but I didn't know how to get into the building and my best friend went to that same school. So I was there anyways. So I knew that he went to the school and the building he lived in. So I, this is embarrassing, but I was desperate and crazy. So it's okay. I downloaded a burner app and I texted his number saying, hi, this is Mike from Insomnia Cookies. Like, I'm here outside with your order.
Smart. That's a smart way.
So he came running downstairs for his cookies. And I was like, oh, hi, it's me. And surprisingly, he was nice about it and everything. And then I went up to his room with him.
Because he's a serial killer. That's what serial killers do.
He's like, I would do this too.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, I knew this was either he thought his mom actually ordered him cookies, or he was just like, or someone was coming to beat me up for some reason. So he opened the door. Like, we went into his apartment.
Wait. Someone was coming to beat him up for no reason
or for some reason.
Yeah. You can't brush over that. Like, what does that mean? Like, people just randomly text him to beat him up
and he shows up
and he comes down.
Maybe like a drug dealer or something, because he does do drugs. I don't know.
Okay.
What a loser.
Continue.
Yeah. So we talked about everything, and then I was still so desperate. Like, I really wanted to get back with him, and I pulled up the porn video of the girl's boobs and I showed him mine, and he was like, okay, you're right. Like, this isn't you.
I'm sorry. That is such a funny image. You holding it, like, shirt lived up, tits shaking.
Sorry. That was what happened.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, like, can you see now? This isn't me. And he's just like, you're so right. And he's like, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, I feel really guilty. I'm so sorry. And then I was just like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know if we can get back together because of what happened, but, you know, I really did want to like get your point of view and actually kind of talk to you. And then from there, like, he seemed like he was really, really willing to try. So I gave him another chance. And then, so this was last September, so September 2019. So then I could not tell my family that we were back together, and they were in a different state, so it was fine. Like, I was just hiding it for several months. So we dated until December of 2019, and then things were like okay. Like, I could tell like things were a little different, like in the beginning of our relationship, like he really, really liked me, I could tell. Mm-hmm. And then now it's just like he wasn't as sweet. Like, he wouldn't say, like, in the beginning of our relationship, he always made it a point to say, good night, I love you. Like, good morning, I love you. Like, he stopped doing that as much. And he just wasn't trying as hard to come visit me. Like, I was visiting him a lot more often. And then, so in December, like, for his birthday was early December. So he's a Sagittarius. So I got him a birthday gift, and he wasn't that appreciative of it. And he's just like, I wanted something else. And he's just kind of being an asshole. So around Christmas time, so I broke up with him. And then, of course, we got back together after that. And then we saw each other. And then things were like, whatever. For my birthday, which is in February, I'm a Pisces. He did nothing for my birthday. He told me, like, why don't you come visit me? And then we'll go see my parents and they'll take us out to dinner, which was just weird. I'm like, why can't you just take me out to dinner?
Why the fuck would I want to hang out with your parents on my birthday?
Yeah. And I'm like, and you're making me drive, because his parents live 6 hours away from where I was. So it's like, I have to drive 6 hours so your parents can take me to dinner.
Ew. They can't Venmo him. Like, if he didn't have money, they couldn't Venmo him.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'm like, or you can just make me food for free, or just come visit me and like spend time with me. So he didn't visit me. So I ended up crying on my birthday. And then I went and drove 3.5 hours to go visit him. Ugh. Like, he said happy birthday, but like, he didn't even send a sweet message. He didn't write me a card. He really didn't do anything. Like, he got me flowers for Valentine's Day and took me to dinner for that, but nothing for my birthday. So I was like, okay, this kind of sucks. And
when's your birthday?
February 20th.
As February 16th, people try to lump our birthdays in with Valentine's Day, and it's not fair, and it's stupid.
No, he didn't even acknowledge that my birthday was close to Valentine's Day. Like, he did something for Valentine's, and then birthday, he just said happy birthday, and that was it. Like, we went to a bar for my birthday with my best friend, but he was kind of annoyed the whole time while we were there. And I was like, okay, like, does this guy even like me at all? And then, so March came, and it was, I went to go visit my family for what I thought was just going to be a quick 1 week spring break, and then quarantine happened. So I ended up staying there for a while, and I told him, like, at the end of spring break, like, when I had my ticket, and this was before, like, things got really bad and they put the stay-at-home orders. So I told him, I was like, I think things are about to get bad. Do I get on my flight tomorrow and I can come, like, and stay with you and quarantine with you, or should I stay here? And he was like, just stay there. And then he ended up breaking up with me again. And I was so bummed. I was like, why are you breaking up with me? And he's just like, I don't know what I want. Like, I want to see other people. Like, I think he's just like, we're both so young. Like, we can get married later on, but like, for now, we need to go see other people. Like, I need this time, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, what the hell does that even mean? And I was like, do you even love me? He's like, of course I love you. I was like, are you in love with me? And he's just like, yeah, I'm not really sure. And I was really, really sad. And then, so that happened beginning of March. And then I was starting to get over it. And June 1st, I think I had to move out of my apartment here. So I had to take a flight back. I had no option. I had to take a flight back, come move out. And he was in the area. So it's just like, do you think you could at least come help me move out? And he was just like, no, blah, blah, blah. And then we started talking a little bit. And he was just like, you know what? I'm so sorry. Like, I want to be with you. Of course, on and off. And then that all ended up, he just said, okay, goodbye. Like, I have feelings for another girl. So then he dated that girl for a little bit. And then in September, he texts me again saying, like, hey, you know, this year has been really hard for me. Like, I've gotten into a lot of hard drugs and like, I just haven't been myself. Like, I ended up dropping out of school and everything. He's just like, I just haven't been myself. But like, from now on, I'm definitely going to take care of myself and I'm really trying to work on myself and get better. And I was like, okay, like, that's good. And I was just like, but you said a lot of hurtful things to me when we were broken up. And he was just like, well, like, I don't even remember what I said, but I'm so sorry for saying anything because I was on drugs. And he was just like, I really don't remember what I said. It was all the drugs. He's just like, I was mixing acid with who knows what. And he was just like, I was just mixing all the drugs and it just wasn't me. Like, I really don't remember what I said. I'm so sorry. So I kind of believed him. And then we started talking again, of course. But I knew like it wasn't really going to go anywhere. So I got on Hinge, like finally I got on Hinge and some dating apps. And I was like, okay, like, you know what? I'm just going to see what's out there and try to talk to new people because it's been way too long wasting my time with him. And then I was telling him something about my sister being on Hinge. And then he said, I got the idea that you were on Hinge. So he made a Hinge and found me on there. And he was so mad at me for a whole week. Like, he didn't talk to me for a whole week. He's just like, why are you on Hinge? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm so upset. Like, this really hurt my heart to see that you're on Hinge. And I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. So I completely deleted it. And at this time, like, he hadn't even mentioned like wanting to get back together with me or anything. But of course, my Hinge bothered him so much. And he even acknowledged, he was just like, yeah, like, I get we're not together, but you know, like, we're going to get married. So this just really bothers me. Yeah. So he was just like, the only way I can forgive you is if we live out my fantasy of having a threesome. And I was like, what the fuck is this threesome? And he was just like, do you know any girls that would be down? Like, he asked me if my best friend would be down. He was just like,
it's disgusting.
He's like, I've just always wanted two girls to suck my dick at the same time. And he's like, after I do that, I feel like I'd be ready to settle down.
The audacity for you to be on Hinge, but he's like, but I, in order to settle down, I need two girls to suck my dick at once.
Not just two girls, but you and your best friend.
Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, I would never be able to look at my best friend the same way. And also, she would be so disgusted if I even asked her. Like,
yes.
She knows I have feelings for this guy. Why would she do this to me? So I'm like, no. And then to make him feel worse, I was like, okay, what about if we have a threesome with your best friend? And he's like, no, he's way too hot. He has a 6-pack and like, he's taller than me. He's like, but he has a smaller dick, so it's fine.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, like, you're literally so annoying and crazy, but I don't know why I can't just block you and stop talking to you. And then I started thinking like, okay, like, let me play this guy. And I started sending him pictures of girls on Tinder. I was just like, would you be down for her? Would you be down for her? And he's like, oh, this is going to be so hot. Like, I'm so excited for this. And he's just like, maybe you are like a little bisexual. Like, I think it would be cool, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm genuinely not going to do this. First of all, like, when do you even, COVID won't be over for like 2 years. Like, yeah. When are we even going to do this? And he's like, maybe it's best that we wait until we don't have feelings for each other to do this. And then he would
but he wants to marry you. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I think the marrying thing went away. I don't know. He's just like, I've never had a connection with someone like this. He's just like, my ex-girlfriends. Another thing about when I was on vacation, he told me like, oh, like last time my ex-girlfriend was on vacation, that's when she cheated on me. So I had this image of his ex-girlfriend that she cheated on him and like her current boyfriend that she was with, that she cheated on him with. But then I found out like her and this guy like got together after they broke up, and like her and her boyfriend broke up once him and I broke up. Mm-hmm. And then they started following each other on Instagram. So I'm like, what the hell is this? And every time I tried asking him, he's just like, I don't know. Like, she just wanted to follow me. Like, we still have mutual friends. It's not a big deal. And I was like, okay, is it a big deal? I don't know. But that kind of sums it all up. And then 2 days ago, I told him, I was just like, you know what? Like, I don't know why you're still playing with my feelings like this. I was just like, it actually really hurts. Like, I can't continue to do this. Like, I do really want to move on. And I was just like, I don't think I can block you. And I was like, can you please just do me a favor and block me? And he kind of just said like, no, why would I block you? Like, I'll see you again someday. He's just like, but I don't know what I want. And he's just like, but I don't want a relationship right now, man.
Ew. I hate him.
I hate him, but Okay, so you want advice from us on how to move on, right?
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you want?
Can we hurt your feelings a little bit?
A little bit, not
because you're a Pisces. I will hurt your feelings to a Pisces extent. I'm not going to hurt your feelings like you're a fire sign. Not going to do that. Do you want to start, Melissa?
Okay, so this man is emotionally abusing you on so many levels, and he has the power, and he knows he has the power, and
100%.
He knows because you've told him on numerous occasions. The most recent one with you saying you need to block me because I can't block you. Like he knows that he has this power over you and he's going to manipulate you. He knows that he was your first everything and you don't have any experience in being in another relationship. I'm guessing, do you feel like this is the type of relationship that you should be in?
No, like I know deep down, or not even that deep down, like I just know in my heart that this is not what it's supposed to be. But for some reason, every time we stop talking, it just hurts so bad that I'm like, I'd rather just talk to him a little bit. Even though when we are talking, I'm crying every single day.
Is it because you miss him or you just miss being with someone?
Another thing is like we were long distance for a while and anytime we were texting, things felt like, okay, I don't want to be in this relationship. And when we were together, like everything felt really great, even though we weren't really leaving his room. Whenever we did leave, it was really nice. Like we had
that's
a good time.
Still a form of manipulation. Like he was he was keeping you there to keep you from leaving, to keep you from going to the outside world, and then like not letting you eat. Like he wouldn't get food with you. Like these are all things that he was doing to manipulate you to keep the power in the relationship.
He's attracted to control and power, and you love him. He loves control and he loves that. So like even the same thing, like we say right off the bat, like any guy who's saying when you start dating, like, oh, I want my family to meet you, I see myself marrying you and all of that, that's a manipulation tactic. Because even if we feel that, you wouldn't say that to someone immediately just because like it's a responsibility, even if you feel that, because you just need to guard your heart because you don't know this other person. But when someone is so willy-nilly just going to say all of that kind of stuff, we have this skewed perspective of someone who like, oh, wow, their communication, like they're so open with their feelings. When in reality, they're reckless with not only their feelings, but your feelings. And they're doing it to get a response out of you and to get like to gauge your reaction versus like, it's like we say, when you say like you love someone or whatever, like say it not because you want the other person to say it back, is because like you feel you really feel like you need to say it. And when you don't have that like filtering system of this is like too much too fast, or like these are these things, or like I'm gonna marry, all of that kind of thing, like a guy who tells you that he is going to like marry you when like very beginning of when you start dating and all that, he's love bombing you already. And what that does is it sets you up to the fact that he will never be like that again. And so then you will always compare it to this previous version of himself and how he was acting. And it romanticizes 100%. That when in reality, that was also manipulation. But like he knew that you've never been in a relationship before. And like, even if you have been in a relationship before, that can feel really like you can really get caught up in love bombing. Like it's something that we fall for all of the time. And so then you will always be comparing him to a version of himself that he created to get you to be so into him. The same thing when you're like, I could tell he like really, really liked me and all of that stuff. Like that was a manipulation tactic. And like to get you to then, he felt like not even, he made you feel like you had the power because he like not knocked himself down, but like really kind of puppy dogged it and was like, I'm so into you. I'm so crazy about you. Like I have all these feelings for you. Like I want you to be my family. Like I see myself marrying you, and makes you feel like all of those like statements and everything like really encompasses like how he feels. And it makes you feel like chosen and safe and like picked and like just like accepted and like loved. And then he flips the switch and then he takes that away and he takes the power. And I promise you, I doubt you even liked him that fucking much until he fucking love bombed you and then took it away. And then you're like, oh no, I really like you. When in reality, it's just, he's depriving you of something he already gave you. And he's just manipulating you for that. And then the same thing, when you go away, the whole like, you're going to cheat on me, you're going to do all of that stuff. Like he's emotionally manipulating you to be so upset so you don't leave your room, so you don't do any of that stuff. Because he, if he can't keep you within like arm's reach, he's not positive that you're not going to realize that he's a piece of shit and other that like you deserve better and other people will treat you better. So he has to make you feel like shit. So then he makes you feel like his love and his acceptance is like the only that is like the only way that you will feel like appreciated because he's the only thing you have to compare it to. And that's like the hardest part. Cause like when my like first, I would say like my first like serious boyfriend, when we broke up, like it was so fucking hard to get over him because I had never been in love with anyone else. And so like, he was also the first person I ever had sex with. So like I compared everything to him because I didn't, not even necessarily compared everything, but like my idea of like a boyfriend, a relationship, love, sex was only with all on one person. So like I tied those two things together as opposed to being like, oh, you were not the, you're someone I had sex with, but I had sex. Like I had to make it about me versus like, this is on, like he was a part of it. Like, no, you were just fucking there. And like, this was my first experience being in love, but like you, I had to sever the fact that there was another person there that was involved in it. And I just had to be like,
yeah,
it was me. Like these were my coming of age things. These were things that I did, but it's so hard when it's your first relationship because people take advantage of that and they like know that they can get away with fucking shit because you don't know, not necessarily you don't know any different, but like, yeah, they love bomb you and they just manipulate the shit out of you.
And now, now that you like, I think that he picks up on you seeing through that some, and now he's trying to use drugs as an excuse for how he was behaving and then bringing you back in, having you feel sorry for him, saying that he doesn't remember what he said. Like all of these are things that he's doing to manipulate you. And you need to, I want to like right now give you the permission that you can block him. Like you are empowered to do that. And if you want to do it while we're here watching you, we can,
you
can be your emotional support.
And you can also like have your, like, I don't know if you have like a family. I mean, your family does not like him, but like, even if it
they don't know any of this,
but like, if it's like someone else that you need to like actually press the button and like actually block him, or if it's like blocking him and then changing the username, like changing the name that's there or something. So like, you don't know where it is and you can't find it and all of that kind of stuff. It's, and it takes like, I don't know, it's a kind of like, if you think about like breaking habits or whatever, like it takes a while to actually like commit to like going through with it, and it will hurt more until it like before it doesn't. And then you're going to recognize like, oh, wow, this is like so much fucking better. But it takes a while because like you have to kind of, you have to get out of the habit of reaching back out too. And I will also say like, there, I mean, if he's, I'm, is it acid and weed that he was doing? Like, what was he calling hard drugs?
He was doing like hallucinogens.
That's a, ketamine's a hallucinogen, isn't it?
Yeah.
The horse tranquilizer. Yeah. I thought that was so weird. And
dude,
and who knows? I don't even know anything about drugs, but they all scared me. And I was like, can you please stay away from all of this?
So like acid, ketamine, do you think like, I don't know, like ecstasy, Molly, shrooms, that kind of stuff? Not like coke, heroin, like fentanyl, like
okay, because I don't do anything, it's hard.
I mean I have like a difference between like I say like, you know, hard drugs and party drugs. Like party drugs, I think of like hallucinogens, like those kinds of things. So like, he's, even if he's saying that he's get, like his rhetoric of him talking about drugs and like placing blame on it, he's not actually like getting any help for drug. Like that's like the first step if you're going through like addiction counseling or even going to an AA meeting or even just reading a fucking article or a book. Like this is, it is, there is, that is like Melissa said, it's just a manipulation tactic in there because he's not taking any accountability and like onus for what he has like done and like his choice. And also like, I'm not into drugs. I'm not a fan of drugs, but like there is a very big difference between like really, I, again, like party drugs and hard, hard, hard drugs, and him using this like excuse of like, you know, like whether it's like being a stoner or like doing acid or stuff like that. Like you can obviously have like really bad trips and do things like that, but like he's also banking on the fact that you don't know a ton about drugs and that you are going to come at it from a place of empathy. And like, you're not an asshole who's going to immediately question, like, are you lying to me about like this? And like all of that kind of stuff. Like he's just, this is essentially like us giving you permission, being like, no, no, he is like, it's just manipulation. And he's he knows that you're empathetic and he knows that you're going to look at it. And I think that a lot of people, when it comes to like, especially like drugs and stuff like that, people think if you don't have like experience with doing drugs or like know people who have like gotten caught up in doing all of that kind of stuff, like other people do use that as like a manipulation tactic to be like, I blame this on like the drug, like, and it's, if someone has a real, as someone who knows, who's has had people in my life who've had like real bad substance abuse problems, there is like a time where like everything is blamed on that. But like when you're actually getting help, it's accountability. And it's like people who are really taking accountability for what they've done, righting their wrongs, addressing their kind of issues. But
and they wouldn't want to be in a relationship either. Because when you're going through those type of programs, they tell you do not be in a, a relationship with someone.
Because he's using, he's like the way he's treating you, even if he was like going through, like the way he's treating you is like the exact textbook of like how you shouldn't treat somebody, especially when you're trying to like be in recovery and like, in, like, like work on yourself and do all of that stuff. Like he's not, like he's just lying and trying to get you, like Melissa said, he can sense that you're starting to see through his facade. And so he's like reaching, like he's like scrambling and trying to like, he's pulling out all of the fucking stops of ways that he can get through to you again because his previous tactics aren't working anymore. He's putting all of it on, like there's, he has not accepted responsibility for everything. Even if you think of like him being jealous when you're going to Greece, oh, is his ex-girlfriend cheated on him on vacation? So like, that's why he was so upset. Or like even like the porn thing, like, oh, I was looking up girls who like look like you. So again, that's him saying this is your fault for looking like that. Like everything is on, he's not accepting responsibility for absolutely anything at all. And like, I think, I mean, what he likes is the control and the power. And like, I truly think like he just likes fucking with people and he just likes to have that kind of manipulation and make you feel shitty. And he's intentionally doing it, which is like a really hard thing to hear because like you don't want to, you don't want to think that someone is intentionally going out of way to hurt your feelings, but he is. He knows he's going to do things that hurt you and then make you not feel worthy, make you not feel like enough. And then he's going to come in and like, quote unquote, fix it kind of, or just like grace you with like, a, okay, we'll get back together, like blah, 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 but take no responsibility. Like he's just anytime that like, and that's why you have to like block him and like just like take that time off because you'll right now what he's doing, it's like whack-a-mole. Like the second that you start to like build this confidence up and like start to recognize that, he swoops back in and knocks you back down. And then you start
100%
and you need to get over that hump. So when he comes back around, you're like, fuck you. You can't fucking knock me down. Like you're an asshole. Like I'm clean of your shit. Like I have been, once you're separated enough from it, you'll be able to see it from like this bigger picture of like, oh shit. Like, wow. And I will say, tell your fucking parents because they will hold you accountable.
They will hold you accountable for this. 100%.
And even if it's like, and you just be like, I like, here, you guys are fucking right. He's a piece of shit. And like, he like first love, first boyfriend. So like, I like hate that I'm still kind of caught up in it. And like, I can, I really have been missing him, but like I'm blocking him and I know he's not good for me. And I know he's a piece of shit and I know I deserve better. So like, I just need you guys to hold me accountable. And it can even be as simple as like, like if there's like a certain time of day that you like think about him more or like you're used to talking to him or whatever, like be like, okay, every time that this like I'm going to like watch an episode, like pick a TV show and like this is, I'm going to watch this show at this time when this happens, like, and retrain yourself so you have new habits, which habits are important, especially if you like were long distance for all, because like, oh, we text at this time and we like call it this time, we do all of this stuff. If you reschedule your life with new things that just like take the place of him, and eventually you're going to realize like all of the stuff that you recognize now, there, I'm sure there's so many other shit that he's done that like you won't even recognize that was like so awful until like months have gone by. But you need to block him on everything. This
is, these are your action steps. Block him on everything. Your parents. Tell your parents. Tell someone that you trust. Write down every shitty thing that he's ever done to you. And I want you to like replay this call too, like whenever you think about reaching back out to him, replay this call and go to the therapy if you're not already in therapy.
And you have to take a break from dating. I know we're in a pandemic, so I'm sure, but like because I so relate to this. Like I so relate to this. And I, my like goal is to make sure that nobody has to go through some of the stupid shit that I did. But like when you have a really toxic, really bad relationship and I'm someone who like, I love a distraction. I love something else. But the issue is our barometer of how we see people and like what we think, not only like what we think we deserve, because we think we deserve better than this person. But the issue is anybody's better than this dude right now.
Yep.
And then like, it's someone who's only marginally better. And we just can get into this if we don't take the time to really get, not only get over it, but like really like look at it and see how awful they are and how it's not that you deserve better than that, but like what you deserve specifically. And like something that's like a fucking high, like this is where these like fucking people need to be. And like, if you bounce back into like any relationship or talking to someone afterwards, like that becomes one shitty relationship becomes like five in a row that they all become marginally better than the last, but they're all still shit guys. Mm-hmm. So it's until you're over him and you know you're worth more than what he gave you, and you know specifically what it is that you're worth, and it's not like a bare minimum. Like it's like fucking, it's high. But yeah, it's unfriending any of your friends who like, if you have any mutual friends or anyone who, if you're friends with people who are also friends with him,
there's no way that this dude would allow you guys to have mutual friends, because then that would take the control away from him. So I'm sure you don't have any mutual friends.
One time though, so like one of his friends from high school or something that he doesn't even really talk to followed me on Instagram, and then 2 days later he texts me saying like, are you talking to my guy friends?
Yeah. that's him manipulating you and controlling you. So
I think just the hardest part for me is like, I don't know, I just find it so hard to believe that people can actually manipulate people on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't even understand it. It's like, what did I do to you to make you want to manipulate me?
It's not about
you.
It's not you.
And that's something, it's so hard to also recognize in the fact that, like, you would never do this to somebody else. And also, you didn't give him permission to do this to you. Mm-hmm. And that's that's a huge thing I had to learn in therapy. That, like, my therapist was like, you didn't give anyone permission to hurt you at all. Like, they just fucking did it. And, like, that's all there is to it. So like it's recognizing that all of this is on him. And there is some pride that comes with like being in a shitty relationship, because you don't want to think like, how did I let him do this? Or how, like, you didn't, he did all of this kind of shit. And there is no, his potential redemption arc has nothing to do with you. And you don't want to be around to see it, because if you're around to see it, it's not real. Like he's not actually going to do that. And like, it sucks that there are some like really shitty people out there who just do it to people who don't deserve it. Not that anyone really deserves it, but like that it's nothing you could have done would have changed this at all, at like, and nothing that you can do now will change the situation other than just getting rid of him and being away from all of it. Because if he wanted to like change and fix and be better, he would have already. Like, that's like, he has no desire to, and this is who he is, and he's shown you his true colors. And anything that you, and this is one of those things that like, I don't mean this in a mean way, but anything that you saw that wasn't this, like any of those bright spots, he's acting. Those are on purpose. Like, he wants you to think of those things, and he orchestrated those. He created a character, and all of the shitty stuff is actually him. All of the good stuff, that was the manipulation and like him doing a good job at trying to trick you into feeling or seeing him a certain way. And then he shows you his true colors and then makes you believe that that's the anomaly, and it's not. Like, that's him. And he is just, he's not going to change. He's not going to be different. And it also does not make you an asshole for being done with him. Like, whether, like, regardless of any shit that he's like, if he's like, that's why you have to block him, because it's like, You know he's got a like relationship with his family. Like, he's fucking fine. But like, it doesn't make you an asshole for it, thinking like, oh, well, what if he texts and like reaches out for me for help? Or like, what if he needs, like, he doesn't need that, because you can't provide that for him, because it's all on him.
This,
like,
is the time for you to be selfish. This is for you.
You wasted so much fucking time not being selfish and him just being a fucking asshole. Like, you could set his car on fire and I would be like, yes, do more. Like, the very bare minimum is like, block him, do not speak to him, and then just move on your life from him. Like, you have every right to be so angry and so pissed at him, and you have to get to that point, because like, you have to get past the sad point to get to the anger, and the anger's fun. And like, just think of like how fun it will be to like hate his guts and just like look at, like if you ever see a picture of him, you're like, trash, disgusting. I feel nothing.
I have scissors like, in my hands, so I'm
snip
cutting
his balls off. Like, ugh.
That's literally how I feel now. And then I'm like, but I'm sad because I always just, like you said, like think of those first memories. And then I've been trying to talk to guys on Hinge and I'm always like, oh,
don't
but
do
I, like,
it. You're not ready. Yeah. You're not ready. Yeah, delete
I'm
Hinge.
Get off of it.
Delete
because
it.
No one's going to sound like he did then because mm-hmm. how he sounded wasn't good. Like, and if that's yeah. like, we tell people that all the time who call in when they're like talking about some guy, like that's my biggest red flag to my friends is a guy who comes on so, so strong and when you start talking to other guys, it's like, well, it's not that. And it's like, that's so good. That's so good. A guy should be kind
that's
of
exactly
nervous
how he is.
With his heart. And he shouldn't want to like put it all out there because like he doesn't want to get rejected. And also he doesn't want to make you. And the other big thing, he doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. Someone who will love mm-hmm. bomb you that much does not care about your own boundaries or how mm-hmm. you feel or anything like that. Like it's never genuine and it's never real and never true. And I think we have this idea that's what like love feels like. Like, right. Like when Moth and I started, it took me Moth and I were friends for a year and a half. And the whole time I'm like, do I like you? Like, would I want to have sex? Mm-hmm. Like, and like, I love him so much, but like that instant effect, in fact, like we have this idea that it's supposed to be like, oh, sparks fly. We see all of this. It's like great and amazing. And someone's telling you that they feel all of those things before you feel them. And then their words get into your head. And then you're like, oh, I feel this. And you're like, I actually don't. Like, it is kind of more of like a slow burn. And even if it's not, like if you instantly are attracted to someone, you are cautious with like your own heart and like you're not being reckless versus him where he's being fucking reckless. And then you'll be so stoked when you like meet a guy or like talk to someone who's like not love bombing you. And then if someone else yeah. tries to do it again in like months, you'll recognize you're like, oh, shit, I don't like this. Because it's also, you're compensating for something. You're going above mm-hmm. and beyond because like you fucking suck. Like there's something else here that like you don't think I'm going to like you because I shouldn't like you. So you have to go above and beyond. Ugh, I hate it. Also because like I've said this to guys before on like dating apps back in the day. I'm like, when they're like, oh my God, you're so great. I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know that I'm fucking great. Like you say this
I've
to
heard
everyone.
You say that on the podcast before.
Yeah. Like it's true though. Like mm-hmm. that's what happens. Like they just... When someone is so over the top saying those things, they don't know you. So they're saying it to everyone. And then yep. they're seeing yeah. who it sticks with. I hate him. He's Me also too. Just like, what a fucking deadbeat. Like what just like a just like a piece of like, he's just like, he's weighing you down. Yeah. He ruined your Greece
so
trip.
Much.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And that was like, who would have thought that was like the last time for a long time that I'd be able to even mm-hmm. go on vacation because of COVID and yeah. everything. Like where I decided to move for work, like I wanted to move close to him. So I'm here now and everything. It's just like.
Garbage. Ugh. Garbage.
Yeah. And he's glowed down a lot.
There's no way he's cute. I'm just going to say this right off. There's no way.
He used to be really cute. And then he has a mullet now and he has the creepy mustache. And
with his glasses.
With his serial killer look, your parents thought. So your parents thought he looked like a serial killer when he was cute. Now
when he was cute, now he has his glasses. He has the full on mullet. And like he looks like a Trump supporter.
Is he?
No. He's very liberal and like his family is too. But I don't know why he's choosing to look so weird now. No offense Ew. To anyone that has a mullet or a creepy mustache.
No, I mean, okay, a mullet and a mustache is fine, but when it started with my parents said that he looks like Jeffrey Dahmer, you have to show them a pic. When you are telling them everything, you have to show them a current updated photo to like really get their rage going mm-hmm. to be like, this is what he looks like now. I really need you to hold me accountable. And they're going to be like, oh yeah, fuck this. Holy tit balls.
Yeah. Yeah. That was... I always say this, but that was a lot. It was a lot to take in, but I have faith that she's strong.
Oh,
she's going to get through this. Yeah.
She's been listening since the beginning and she called us knowing mm-hmm. what we were going to say. And she also started it with like, I know I said we didn't break up for like any bad reason. She's like, but I'm coming clean with all of this right now. And yeah, no, I think she's so ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she took the first steps to talk to people that don't know her at all and don't know mm-hmm. her situation. And I think the next steps are then just letting people in her life actually know what's been going on.
And it's hard. And I think mm-hmm. we've all been in those kinds of relationships and even if like your first relationship isn't necessarily like tumultuous in like an emotionally abusive or manipulative way, we can get caught up in comparing, like, and just associating love, romance, and everything with a specific person. Mm-hmm. And that it's a really hard thing to unlearn. And that's also like purity culture and everything that's trickled into like even people who aren't necessarily like religious or like waiting to have marriage until sex. But yeah, so I think that's something that I had to like unlearn a lot of, was like associating stuff with a person versus like, oh, this was my first time having sex. Who cares that you were just there? Mm-hmm. Like, but like, I didn't lose my virginity to you. I had sex for the first time and you were the penis.
Yeah.
And like, who, yeah. And, but it's hard. And I hope, you know, maybe for those of you who are in like similar situations, your homework after this is doing the same thing, blocking, mm-hmm. finding that friend that you can like confide in and they can hold you accountable, and telling other people in your life and the people who you live with, and really taking those steps to rid your life of that person so you can actually like actually get over them.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for our episode, guys. Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed. If you want to call in for an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And again, we ask you to either have your parents' permission if you're under 18 or be over 18 to call in. Write it down. You've got 3 minutes. Practice. Get all those details in there. And yeah, what else? You can follow us on Instagram. We have our own individual Instagrams as well as the podcast. You can rate the podcast. Find us over on Patreon if you want to support our show so we can keep going and doing all of this stuff. We do live streams twice a month, which are super fun, especially.
They're so fun.
I love it. They're so great, especially for like, if you think of it in like a, if you had like a group of friends who like does like a Zoom night, like girls night over Zoom, like it's, I mean, people night, doesn't have to, no genders necessarily, yeah. But like,
there's also, like you're just, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been a few times where like people's boyfriends have been in the background and it's pretty funny too, because they're like listening, but like pretending not to listen.
And I think it's funny because we get a lot of people who tell us that they, their partners like listen to the podcast, like with them, and like, especially mm-hmm. like straight, like cis male partners who like listen to the podcast without like with them. And so I think that's funny that they could like also like eat like listening it on like the Patreon. I'm like,
I see your arm. I see you're there.
I see you. But yeah, our videos are also available there. And if you want to leave us a rating, anything else? Do you want to promote any of your other shows? Do you want to just tell people to go to your Instagram bio?
Maybe.
Do you
want to
have your website done by
maybe
now?
Maybe I'll have my website done by now. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I'll put the if my website's done by now, then there's a link in the notes.
She's booked and busy, everyone. She truly is booked and busy.
Yeah.
I don't even think you could do anything else if you wanted to. She's like, don't say that. I can work more.
I mean, we'll talk when we're done recording.
You can make time with anything. Well, that's it, right?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, guys, have a good one, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye. Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, executive produced by Melissa DeMonts, edited by Katrina Henning, and music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.